Welcome to Beach Houses and Babies, a private practice recap podcast. I'm Sam. On today's episode, we'll be chatting all about Private Practice Season 6, Episode 2. Episode 2, Morning Sickness, was written by Jennifer Cecil and directed by Ed Orleanis. It aired on October 2nd, 2012. Enjoy! Please welcome actor, director, teaching artist, inclusion activist, and host of the podcast Conversations with a Mixed Chick, Christina Pena.
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
I'm alive and good.
Living, thriving, breathing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you reading and or watching right now?
So currently I'm in yoga teacher training at Y7 Studio. So I've been living a lot in yoga land. So I've read a lot about yoga anatomy and the body and yoga sutras. All the like funness of being a yoga teacher. I know you look so like enthralled. Yeah, I've been reading that a lot. And then I also currently still read Smut all the time. Bless. And I watched Drag Race. I finally caught up on Drag Race. So that's exciting.
All right, well, let's get into it, dear listeners. I'm shocked, truly appalled. Plasma's gone. She's not going to win this season.
You're not going to like what I have to say, but Plasma did it to herself.
Yes, okay, but when you... This season is abnormally fashion heavy in the talent.
It is. But, like, what are you going to say when the seasons are, like, comedy heavy or acting heavy or singing heavy? Like, we don't complain about it as much.
No, I'm not complaining about it. I just feel like... It was not her time to go. I feel like someone with two wins, yes, both in performance areas, taking a risk like that, doing something. Okay, here's the thing. When the in previous seasons, early seasons, when the judges say fix something and then you fix it, then you leave.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't get the critique of like, we don't want to see you as, you know, a classy dame. I want to see you do something else.
Yeah.
Would I wear what she made? No. But it just, I was shocked, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Morphine and Maya need to go, like, now.
But I liked both of their outfits more than Plasma.
I loved Morphine's outfit this week. I did.
Yeah.
I just feel like perhaps in past years, it could have been a double Shantae.
Yeah, I guess so.
I am now firmly Team Safira. That's who I want to win, Safira.
Uh-huh.
That is, she's my girl. Why? Who are you?
You're gonna hate it.
Jane.
Yeah.
We're done. And yeah. End meeting. Leave listen, meeting.
Listen. There has not been, and I get it. I get that Jane is not for everybody. I get it. But there has not been a queen that has come out and been this, like, I don't know. She makes good TV.
She's just mean. Right? Dia Betty was a good villain.
I mean,
Jane is just mean. Like, she is mean in a way that a middle school bully is mean, in which she is going after other people because of her own insecurity.
Well, I mean, okay.
But you like the villains, and I don't like the villains.
No, but, like, name a Drag Race, like, star that's not mean. Like, I mean, like, there are
Alaska, like, Jinx, Chad.
Listen, but you know what I mean? There are a lot of them that is just what they do.
There's a difference.
And it's not meant to be, okay.
When you're great at reading, I appreciate it. Like when you know when to be mean funny and you know like when to be supportive and a good sister, that is the queen that I like. I am not here for just mean. Although I do think she's gonna give her survival or her immunity potion to another queen this week, though. I do.
I think so, too.
So I guess we're just gonna have to keep watching Drag Race and see my girl Plasma on All Stars. That's just how it's gonna be. Oh, please.
Listen.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Okay.
So tell me about some books that you're reading, if they're appropriate for published podcast.
Oh my god. Well, I just read this really cute series called The Improbable Meet Cutes.
Oh.
It's like six books by like a bunch of famous romance authors. And they're like anywhere from 100 pages to like 30 pages. They're really cute. And they're like really fast reads. And if you want something just like nice and cute, I mean, like, they're not smutty. They're like the longing and the buildup. And then you meet and then like that's where it ends. Like they run off into the sunset and then you like don't see what happens after they run off into the sunset, which is like not where I am currently in my life. I love a destruction book because love sucks, but yeah, they're cute.
Okay, I'm reading Fourth Wing. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I have no desire to read it.
Have you read One to Watch by Kate Stayman London?
No.
You need to, first
okay,
of all.
Okay.
It is one of my favorite books in the world.
Okay.
I just heard her guest on another one of my favorite podcasts called You're Making It Worse. And she suggested it, and I had heard it. I had heard of it. And I was like, I don't know. It seems like another, like, Hunger Games type thing. And it kind of is, but I don't know. I feel like I'm enjoying it. It feels that, like,
oh,
fantasy. There's, like, dragons, and
yeah.
I'm listening to it because that's always what I do. And same. I am 6 hours into it and only 29%. It's, like, it's so long. But it's fun. It, like, scratches that Game of Thrones itch.
That's how I feel about, have you read Haunting Adeline? Or do you, like, know of it?
No, but Caitlin has. I think Caitlin has.
It's, like, on my list. And I have a physical copy because I got it as, like, a gift. And so it's on my list to read. But it's, like, one of those books that's, like, 600 pages. And I'm, like, I have to have the mindset and the capacity and the desire to want to read. Like, it's really dark. Like, to read a really dark book.
So, this isn't dark. It feels like Hunger Games, Harry Potter, Star Wars. It's like kind of coming of age, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, it. She's like 20, I think, or 21, the main character. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, anything Kate Stayman London tells me to read, I will read.
Yeah. I haven't read her book. I looked it up. I haven't read her book, but I've seen it and thought about reading it.
It's so good.
Okay, well, I'll add it to my ever-growing TBR.
Yes, it was the book I was reading the week that I adopted my dog, so it has an extra special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading it, like, that morning. It was very cute.
I love that.
Okay, so let's get into the episode an hour after we get on a Zoom.
Great.
Okay, so we have first notes and miscellaneous, per usual. We only really have one character, or not character, one patient this episode, Nick Calhoun, with pedophilia, but I don't know if that's a with or a has, depression and acetaminophen overdose. And then we're going to talk about Charlotte's pregnancy and Pete's funeral.
Mm.
What's your first note?
I was not ready for Pete to be dead. I just, like, putting it out there, again, don't watch this show. So I was like, oh, it's gonna be a nice cute episode. And I like enter and he's dead. And I'm like, oh, great. This is where we're at. So that's my first note.
Welcome.
Thank you.
My first note is we're getting straight into this, aren't we?
By the way, can I ask? So it's not a spoiler because it happened. Is he murdered or does he like just die of a heart attack? Or I couldn't quite gather. It said he died in a ditch, but, like, that's all I got.
Yeah. So we talk about it in depth in the episode before you, which is with Melody, which has not been released yet, so it's okay.
Just give me 30 seconds of it.
He died of a heart attack. He was on a run in Runyon Canyon, and he just collapsed and died in a ditch and was found by a dog.
Great. Okay, cool. I mean, not cool, but, like...
Yeah, but he was on trial for murder because he took a patient off life support without the dad's permission, but he had the partner's permission.
Great. Okay, cool. Now I feel more caught up.
Yeah. It was a huge surprise for the fandom as well when it happened.
Yeah. Crazy. That's my only first note.
Yeah, I don't have any more first notes. I have Pete's funeral as our third one, so let's get into Nick Calhoun.
Great.
I don't have much for him. It was hard to watch. He's not my favorite patient who's ever been on the show.
Yeah.
And at this point, it seems a little weird for this to be what is going on during Pete's funeral, although I get that the device is that Sheldon's not there the whole time, and then he just comes into the funeral when Violet is having her breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, there's a if you want to like start at the end, there's a moment at the very like end of Sheldon's episode journey. And he says, I saved the life of a man today I'm not sure should live, but Pete was a good guy. And that means I don't believe in God. And so from that, it goes through like who really gets to determine who's a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, like Pete, while I love Pete as a character, like goes through a lot of turmoil, right? Like you just talked about like how his last episode ended, and it's just you don't really know who's the good guy and who's not. And so I can see the reason of using this character, and like then Sheldon having to go through this crisis of like who should live or die, because they're doctors, and like doctors go through that all the time, from what I assume.
At least on the show they do.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to pair with a funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know.
Sheldon says, happiness can be derived from intentional activities like volunteering and maintaining close relationships. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he just was reading straight from like a textbook.
Oh, yeah.
And he has never been depressed. It seems like those two things are true in the sentence that he says.
Yeah.
It's like the people who are like, we'll just be happy.
We'll just be happy and we'll be fine.
And of course, this is before he has any idea what is going on in the rest of it, which yeah. Also, I couldn't help but wonder, a la Carrie Bradshaw, my bestie, how long have they been seeing each other? Like, how long has Nick been a patient that this has never come up?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Nick just hasn't told anyone. Like,
oh, yeah.
But I feel like if you're seeing a doctor, I also was trying to figure out, like, why he was there originally, like, why he was meeting with Sheldon as a therapist, like, what, you can't really tell from the episode, like, what brought him there.
My guess is depression.
Yeah, but then if you're depressed and this is something you're thinking about, wouldn't you bring it up? I mean, like, I guess not.
I mean, it's not like, you know, like you said, it's not like alcoholism.
Right.
It is, like, bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way around it. And I think he, like he says, he doesn't want to be judged and all of that. But again, I mean, doctors can only help you with what they know about, right? They're not mind readers.
Yeah.
And if of everyone, I do think Sheldon wants to help him the most. Mm-hmm. Like if he was with Violet or Sheldon, I do think Sheldon would go a little bit more above and beyond, especially now. Like Violet, we're going to give her a little bit of grace this episode. It's been a little rough for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, he can only help with what he knows about. And if he doesn't know about it, it seems like they've been seeing each other for kind of a while. I don't know. But also telling your therapist that you're planning to die by suicide and thinking he's not going to do anything about it is quite delusional.
I also, I'm like pretty sure if a patient tells you that, you have to like 5150 them.
Yes. Yes.
So I was like, why are we sitting? I mean, like, I get it. He's sitting there like trying to talk to him about it. But like, I was like, why are we not more concerned? Like, it feels kind of like passive.
It seems to me like Sheldon, I mean, I hope he's not the only person in the office, because by God, six seasons in, we need to know that Oceanside's Seaside Wellness needs security there.
Yeah.
But it does seem like the office is quite empty. Obviously, none of the doctors are there, but the support staff we met last episode, we haven't seen any of them. It seems like it's afternoon, evening.
Yeah.
It all just seems very strange, all of it. And yes, he would be a mandated reporter for that.
Yeah.
And again, Sheldon says, and I'm obviously not an authority on any of this, but it does seem like he doesn't want to die. I don't quite know how to say that, but he has taken the Tylenol, which is what acetaminophen is.
Yeah.
And then he comes to his appointment. Also, there's no way that the effects of an acetaminophen overdose takes that long to come through. Like an entire 50-minute or one-hour session plus.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been a lot sooner.
Well, and he, like, doesn't want to die alone, right? Which is why, I mean, I think it's interesting that he comes out and says, I won't be here tomorrow. Yeah. I almost think he's, like, I thought about this, like, at the end of it. I almost wonder if he was, like, killing time, pun intended. Like, he was, like, it hasn't come into effect yet. But, like, he outright says he doesn't want to die alone.
So I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, he's, like, says yeah. He's there to die at the end. And you're like, oh, so is he just telling him all this stuff so that he doesn't have to actually die alone? Like, but you, like, see him getting progressive. Like, I figured he took something because you can, like, if you watch him during the episode, like, he gets progressively worse in, like, color and in, like, he starts to sweat more. And you, like, if you're looking at it from, like, oh, he must be nervous. Like, no, I think he's, like, physically feeling the effects of what's happening on his inside.
Correct.
Yeah. You just don't get it.
And makeup, again, did a great job.
Again.
And when he's in the hospital bed, he looks a little yellow. And yeah. Sheldon says the medicine almost shut his liver down. Mm-hmm. And I do think he looks jaundiced yellow. It's a great, great job, makeup team.
Great job.
Yes. Yeah. Sheldon can't cure his attractions, but can help with impulse control.
Mm.
And again, Sheldon's willing to help rather than just, you know, he has to 5150 him. He has to put him on a 72-hour hold.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be like, I will not help you with this. I feel like maybe Sam would do if Sam was a, maybe that's why he's not
maybe a therapist. Maybe that's why he's not a therapist.
Yeah, Sam would be like, I won't help you. I'm not going to.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, that's all I have for Nick Calhoun. Again, like, he was not the focus of the episode, per se.
Yeah.
The only other thing I have is the quote that you said before, I saved the life of a man tonight I'm not sure should live.
Yeah.
And then compares it to Pete, who had a wife and a child and didn't live, which, again, is not quite a fair comparison, but he's drinking his scotch again, aggressively drinking his scotch.
Yeah.
So maybe next week we'll find out what was in those blood tests from last episode.
Mmm.
Yeah, Melody was so up in arms about it. She was like, what is wrong with Sheldon? I need to know. I don't know. We still don't know Melody. Sorry.
I don't know Melody either, so we can compare notes later.
Okay, anything else for Nick Calhoun?
Yeah, I think the only other quote I wrote down was, suffering is a great teacher. You never know what you will become. And that's why every life is worth saving. It made me think of, like, Amelia and how, if you watch her story in De Grey's, she turns out on top for a bit. And so it's like, you don't know. And if someone's going, I mean, like, granted, pedophilia is, like, very different than, like, a drug addiction.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he says that. But, like, you never know. Like, if you're someone who's suffering and you can make it through that, you don't know, like, what can be on the other side. And that's, like, a very powerful thing to say on a on a TV soap opera.
Yes, I really liked Sheldon talking about, you know, his history with Buddhism and how he was curious about it and not interested in joining the religion, but still he did his research into it.
Yeah.
It was a great call in and something, you know, to put on television to help people, even if it's hopefully not with this specific thing.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. On to Charlotte's pregnancy. When Cooper says a trio of couplets, that is my line of the season. We are only in episode 2, and I can already tell you that is going to be my favorite line of the season. Charlotte is carrying a trio of couplets.
Oh my gosh.
Icon. Icons only. What's your first note about Charlotte?
Okay, my quote of the season is if you wanna keep those hands, get them off my uterus, because it's just I love Charlotte, as we've noticed throughout all these episodes I've watched. But she's iconic. And she I feel like she is what everyone wants to be or everyone like won't accept in the world. I have so much to say about like this pregnancy arc. And I just have questions.
Yeah.
So many questions. But yeah.
Okay. Well, before you start asking them if I can answer them, okay. I will just say my other favorite is she says, I'm just a host now. After she talks about she's having a litter, like some kind of animal.
Like an
she
animal.
Says, I'm just a host now to these tapeworms.
That was very funny. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. What are your questions? I'll see if I can answer them.
I mean, like, I went through, like, a bunch of, like, I watched it, right? And I'm going through, like, all these emotions, right? Because, like, Charlotte's pregnant. My thing is, like, I love Addison. I really don't like Addison in Private Practice. And I don't know why. But it, like, got to me that we're sitting there and it's, like, clearly Addison's the only one that knows, right? Besides them. And Cooper, obviously. But there's, like, no compassion from Addison on, like, how Charlotte is feeling. Because she keeps, like, making these jokes about, like, well, now you can eat whatever you want. And now, like...
Oh, I hated that line. That just, is my next one. It is gross.
Yeah, it's just, like, not every person who is pregnant or gets pregnant wants to be pregnant, has a good pregnancy, like, lives through all these things, and we're, like, sitting here, and we're, like, all these people in this episode are, like, well, aren't you happy you're pregnant, like, and, at some point, Jake says something about, like, well, when every woman, like, not everyone wants to be a mother, but once they hold their baby, they're, like, great, and I'm, like, well, that's even not true, because
postpartum hits and you like aren't great, and like maybe you don't want to hold your baby and you don't have a connect, like it just, it was like for a show that has such like does leaps and bounds for some things in the medical field, this one I feel like fell very, very, very short.
I do feel like that whole soliloquy from Jake is from his point of view of working only with people who actively want children and are going to a fertility specialist.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And of course, he did residency, I'm sure, and, you know, dealt with other sorts of unplanned or unwanted pregnancies as well. And I don't think Addison told Jake about Charlotte. I think Charlotte just thinks that Addison told Jake.
Yeah, he's probably just in his feels at a funeral, and like that's what he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was something else that you said that I had something to say about. Oh, in the last episode, Addison was very concerned about Charlotte when they did the initial ultrasound and the IUD removal. She was very concerned. I think that Addison is really distracted in this episode because she knows that Mark is coming off life support today.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think she, like, Pete is probably first on her mind because she is physically there. Mark is second on her mind, and Charlotte is like fourth after Henry, right?
Well,
like, I don't,
yeah,
I don't think Charlotte is taking up a lot of her brain space at the moment.
Well, you can have the conversation like, yeah. Didn't she have a, this might not be, I don't remember entirely. Doesn't Addison have a miscarriage with Mark?
Oh, not a miscarriage, an abortion.
That's what it is. It's funny because I feel like I want Addison to be a very, very strong female character. And she is for a lot of it. But then when it comes to things like being a mother, she is not as strong as I want her to be.
I don't think it's an aspect of strength. I think it's just her priorities are not what we think of as like independent feminist woman, even though I think she is. I just think, you know, she wants something so badly. And that's all that private, not all that private practice is about, but that's like what private practice covers a lot is Addison's journey to motherhood, right?
For sure.
I mean, just because people want something different than, I'm saying the you, not you, you, but, you know, different than you, doesn't mean that it's not strong or less than, I feel.
Yeah, well, and you watch, like, there's the moment of Charlotte in the bathroom, and she's like, I never wanted children. And that's a it's also, like, a very real statement, like, now post-pandemic world, there are a lot of people in our society who don't want children. And they're looked at as, I mean, like, it was worse in 2012, so, like, they're looked at as, like, you know, how could you not want to be a mother? And what do you mean? Like, now you're pregnant. Like, that's so great.
You will eventually.
You'll eventually learn. And I'm like, no, like, it just is sad because there are people who don't, like, for many reasons, there are people who don't want children. Like, you never know what someone's upbringing was or whether they can't have children or what it is about them that makes them say they don't want children as the easy response. But yeah, it's just like kind of like heartbreaking because Charlotte wants to process this, it feels like, and everyone around her is like, get over it and tell people.
Oh yeah, I mean, Cooper is not...
He tells Violet. I'm like, what the f*** is wrong with you?
Cooper is not what we would want in a supportive spouse at the moment.
I mean, like, he is. Like, he's great at some things, but like, you're like, really? Like, at this moment is when you choose to be just an asshole? Like, I was like, what is happening?
I go into a little bit more in depth in the last episode, which, again, you haven't heard yet. Sorry. Yeah. It's not done being edited. How I feel Charlotte becoming a mother from an unplanned pregnancy is different than if Christina would have become a mother from her unplanned pregnancy with Owen. I have to be so careful about how I say this because it's I don't want it to come off like what I don't mean. But like Charlotte is a mother to Mason and she's a great mother to Mason and she loves Mason where, you know, Christina is a great aunt to Zola and probably the other children that she didn't actually really get to meet very much. But I just feel like Christina's life would have been what she did not want it to be if she would have had Owen's child or Burke's child. And Charlotte, you know, she says in the last episode, like, I believe in a woman's right to choose, but I can't make that choice. Where, I don't know. It's also three babies. Oh, my God.
I think also, like, I get what you mean. I think we don't know I mean, we might, because, like, I haven't watched all the episode. But it feels like we don't know why Charlotte doesn't want to be a mother. We knew very clearly why Christina didn't want to be a mother. Christina wanted a very specific life with no children and being the best doctor she could be. And
yeah,
we don't entirely know. Like, maybe Charlotte, like, thought she didn't like kids. Or Charlotte, I don't know if we know. Like, do we know?
No, you're correct. Yeah. It hasn't been stated as explicitly as it was with Christina.
Yeah, so it could be any number of... She could have thought she would be a bad mom. Like, there are many reasons why women don't want children.
Yeah, and they're all valid. Let's say they're all valid.
And they're all valid. But I think Christina's was so specific that there was no way she could have had a child. It would have...
Yeah, it's integral yeah. to her as a human.
Yeah, and the yeah. men in her life were both awful. And so...
Yeah.
Like, Cooper is an idiot. Like, granted, Cooper is an idiot, but Cooper is a good guy.
A lovable idiot.
Burke and Owen are not. Like, I would not...
Bad partners.
I, as a Christina, would not have children with Burke or Owen either. Like...
No. Yeah, yeah.
Would not do that to myself.
As a Christina, she says, as a Christina.
As a Christina.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I am not a Sam.
You're not.
I'm not a Sam Bennett. No.
I'm not a Christina, but, like, I am a Christina in some point.
I feel like you are. I'm a Cooper, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a lovable idiot Cooper.
You kind of are a Cooper, but it's okay. We still love you.
It's totally fine. Cooper's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my last line about Charlotte's pregnancy and the rest of it really goes in with Pete's funeral is just, I really hate that line that Addison says about being able to eat whatever you want. It's
so
gross.
Much.
Anyone can eat whatever they want at all times, of course, unless they're allergic to it and it makes them sick.
Absolutely.
You can eat whatever you want. You don't have to be growing humans inside of you to eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
And all she had on her plate was, like, tuna salad sandwich and salad. Like, it's food is good food. All food is good food.
Yeah. Don't let anyone tell you what you can and can't eat. Unless you, like, physically get sick from it.
Yes. Anything else for Charlotte's pregnancy specifically before we go on to Pete's funeral?
No, I just love Charlotte. And I'll say it every time.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Lucas is already going to be in need of a lot of therapy. And we know this. We have known this since the second he came into the world.
Yes.
But having Lucas watch the cremation of his father.
That was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Ma.
Also, like, I don't think that's, like, as someone who has just gone through, like, this whole process, that is not something you do.
You look and press the button yourself?
No. Like, that is I've gone through several family members getting cremated. That is not what you do. That is not it.
I don't have any experience with that, but yeah. It seemed weird.
No, like, and I won't, like, you don't need any of the details, but, like, they basically take care of everything and they call you and you come pick them up. Like,
yeah.
it is not, yeah. Like, you do not sit there and press a button. Like, no.
And it might be that specific funeral home that she was at, and it might be, like, a full service, like, and Pete, having done all of this preparation for it, he yeah. might have chosen that, of course.
It might also be, like, Shondaland, like, trying to be, like, let's make it as gut-wrenching as possible.
I just could not get over Lucas playing with his little toy, watching his dad be cremated. It just trauma.
I mean, at least he doesn't realize what's happening.
No, you think that Violet isn't like, okay, honey, we're gonna go cremate your father now. Okay, buddy. Daddy's dead. Daddy's not coming back. Violet is giving him a play-by-play narration of everything that's going on.
Which is crazy.
I'm all for kids knowing what's happening in their world.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like Violet probably goes a little overboard sometimes, you know?
It's a little much. A little much.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank goodness she is actually selling her house and moving. Finally, I've been saying this for years. And she finally has a real estate agent, like, going in, showing people the house. She's looking at other houses to move to. Thank you, Violet. Perhaps things will, maybe, get better in your life after you move from the murder house.
That would be smart.
Yeah. Violet gives Cooper Pete's bracelet and Sam Pete's leather jacket. I wonder what she's keeping for Lucas, because I feel like his dad's leather jacket would be, like, a big thing to keep for Lucas.
Also, like, did you hear what she said when she handed it to him?
No, but I heard what she said to Cooper. So you tell me.
She says, may you wear it in good health.
Oh, yeah, that's a Jewish thing.
Okay. Oh, then that's what it is. I was just like, that's, like, a really weird thing to say, to be like, it was weird.
Yeah, well, Violet isn't Jewish, but Cooper is, so I feel like she probably picked it up from Cooper. From but Cooper. Yeah, you always say, like, anytime I got a present from, like, an aunt and uncle, a grandparent, whatever, yeah, they say, use it in good health, wear it in good health. It's like
a Jewish thing?
I don't... Yeah. It might be Eastern European, I don't know. It was mostly Jewish, just, you know.
It was interesting, because I was like, well, like, that's really, like, fucked up to say at a funeral, because, like, everyone's like...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, it was just weird.
Well, but what she said to Cooper was, he got it from a spiritual leader who hugs people. Oh. She has, like, 30 million followers.
Yes.
And then I said, not on Instagram, I bet.
Oh, my God.
Ba-dum-tsh.
That's funny.
Yeah, I want to know what she kept for Lucas if Sam got that jacket. I also feel like Sam would probably give Lucas the jacket back when he got to be, I don't know, like 21 or something.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sam to wear it in the meantime makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though Sam and Pete, like, never really got along ever. Mm. But, hey, whatever.
Whatever. I wonder, because, I mean, like, everything feels very planned out. Like, did he, like, I was trying to figure out, like, if that was her idea or that was his idea. Because, like, it could be Pete's idea that he wanted it to go to Sam. And, like, that kind of says something about their friendship, right?
I, too, was thinking the same thing. In fact, this episode kept me up last night. I could not go to sleep thinking about the death of Mark Sloan, as has haunted me for the last 12 years.
Oh, I know.
But she specifically reads the will at the beginning, like, all of my earthly possessions go to my wife, Violet. So I do think that she made that decision.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah.
Maybe it went to Sam simply because they're similar
sizes.
Yeah. Like, it might be tight on Cooper, and why would she give it to Jake?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Addison should get something meaningful of his. Oh my God, wait. Can we talk about, I have it much later in my notes, but Addison says that her time with Lucas and Pete Violet was gone made her realize she could raise a child on her own. And I said, cool. So you finally admit that you were just babysitting for him in that weird time. It made me so mad. I felt like she was being used by him.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's like, yeah, it made me realize I could be a parent to a child on my own.
Oh my God.
Cool. So you were not co-parenting. You were not, you know, really helping. You were raising Lucas by yourself.
Well, yeah.
Amelia coming downstairs with the kids was really cute. Aww. I do think it's weird that she volunteers to babysit, though, right? Because, I mean, she just lost her own baby.
I mean, yeah, but then also, like, I get where she's coming from, because, like, she makes that statement. She's like, I tend to say inappropriate things. And, like, I could see, like, just wanting to be out of the house, like, out of that environment. Because she's like, she said she's going to shoot up. Like, it's like, I could see the lesser of two evils being spending time with babies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I get it. It's weird.
But she is so cute with Henry.
So cute.
Violet says that she would like Cooper to take Lucas if she dies.
Mm-hmm.
It struck me at that point, she still doesn't know that he has three more babies on the way yet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which I feel like she would probably still ask him because, it, you know, it seems like that possibility is so slim, even though the life they lead, it's not that slim, let's just say.
Yeah.
But it is quite a testament to Cooper that she asks him that.
Yeah, I think, like, it's just also, it's kind of a strange moment. I don't know. I feel like Cooper could have, I don't know. I don't know why. It just felt weird. But, like, yeah, the whole episode feels weird.
It felt like a weird moment to ask him, or it felt weird the way he answered?
Probably both. I mean, like, it's not weird to ask him because, like, at a funeral, people just, like, are going through grief and say things. But, like, what made me weary about it was he didn't think about his three children. He knows. She doesn't know, but he knows he has three children coming. Like, he says yes right away and doesn't even think about that he's about to have four children.
Well, yeah, but is he supposed to say no to her at that point? What he should have said, let's be honest, what he should have said is, let me ask Charlotte.
Yeah, he doesn't.
No, yeah, I do. I agree that the episode is, like, kind of weird, but also funerals are really weird, especially funerals that are, like, celebrations of life. Like, I totally, like, I get it.
Yeah.
But funerals that are celebrations of life always feel a little funny to me because, like, people are sad, but you're supposed to, like, be happy. And it just feels like a dichotomy.
That also was not a, like, as an Irish person, that was not, like, a celebration wake. That was a full-on, like, they didn't even try. Like, it was just, it was funny because they're like, oh, this is a celebration, but, like, at least try then.
they're just sitting there all telling the sad stories. And I'm like, well, of course you're going to feel sad. Like, you're not actually...
Yeah.
Like, you're not trying. C'est la vie.
C'est la death, I think you mean.
C'est la death. Just kidding.
Uh-huh. Speaking of the people who are telling sad stories, I wish that they were people that we've seen before, and they're not.
Yeah.
And they're telling sides of Pete that Violet did not often see.
Yeah, which I found very interesting, though.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, leads her to the point of singing a cappella, which is oh my really God. Funny. But it leads her to that point.
It was, like, a very interesting juxtaposition of these, like, stories that she didn't know. It would just, like, made me also... Because, like, I don't know, like, I haven't watched it in a while, but, like, I've always felt that Pete and Violet's relationship is just, granted, I'm not a Violet lover, right? Like, I don't like Violet. And so, I've always felt like they just don't know each other, actually. And it just, like, shows more.
You'd be right.
Yeah, like, Violet cares about Violet, and Pete cares about, I don't know. But, like, Violet very clearly cares about...
His patience.
Yeah, Violet very clearly cares about only herself and her son now, sometimes. But it's like, of course she doesn't know any of these stories because she doesn't know him.
Yeah, and she says, like, he didn't live long enough to tell me what went wrong with our marriage. What went wrong in that marriage is that they don't know each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, I haven't had you on in a long time because you've been globetrotting. Globetrotting. Which I guess we can get into later. But... I didn't... Have you met Mason yet?
Yeah.
Have you been on?
Mason was the last episode I was on.
Okay. Yeah. So when he... I thought him talking to Violet was one of the best scenes in the episode. Of course, besides the tub scene, which we'll get to because I love the tub scene.
Oh my God.
Mason just speaking so matter-of-factly to Violet and saying... It's lonely to be left behind. Mm. I felt lonely when my mom died. Like, out of the mouths of babes, right?
For sure.
He's speaking with such wisdom and helping her in a way that I feel like she wants to be helped, right?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to be told all of these bad stories. She wants to be told, like, it gets a little less lonely. I know how you feel, because obviously no one knows how everyone else feels.
Right.
But, like, I've been in a similar situation and, like, I'm sorry you're going through this and it's really lonely, isn't it? And, like... commiserating in a positive way.
Yeah, I think Mason and Jake were the best reactions to Violet. And they were both like, we understand, and how can we help you? Like, it was like...
Yes.
They were not like, let us tell stories about him. They were both like, he's a great guy. I'm so sorry. How do we help you?
Correct.
And they were the only two I really witnessed that, like, said that. And I was like, oh... But they both don't really know her. Like, it was funny the people around her weren't doing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How about his hand, Mason's hand, just chilling in that prop chip
bag? In the prop chips? That was a big bag of chips. It was, like, half his size.
Yeah, it was a giant bag of chips. It didn't lay like a normal bag of chips because, as we've talked about on the podcast previously, is, like, prop chips and prop food is made out of different materials because, you know, cellophane and aluminum and all of that makes noise that sound can't mix with.
Yeah.
So it is a specific, like, television chip bag. Like, there are studios that just make chips. Props like this for food. But his hand was just, like, chilling inside of it. And then he hands the bag to Violet, and Violet eats a chip out of it. And I was like, oh, my God, his 8-year-old hand has been sitting in there for who knows how long playing with all of the chips, and you're putting it in your mouth. Yuck.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. When Jake says he couldn't do what Pete did, he likes creating life. He doesn't like helping life end. He likes being there, the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I did like that a lot.
No, I enjoy. It's interesting. This is, like, off topic, but I've been, it's not off topic, but I've been reading about, do you know what, like, end of life doulas are?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was, like, reading about how they're the same, you know, a doula helps bring life into the world and an end of life doula helps you exit the world. And it's very interesting because, like, I feel like we treat, like, I really enjoy Pete as a character because, of course, we always treat, like, babies coming into the world as, like, this, like, new, fresh thing that is so, we focus on the baby, and then the mom is a different, like,
yep.
There's lots of world where we don't focus on the mom. But the same with, like, end of life is, like, we don't focus on the patient, we focus on the people that are still gonna live. And I feel like Pete does something really well in focusing on the people and like that they're actual people that are dying, like obviously, but he treats them as people, which I find very soothing in a TV show like this where they could just let them die.
Make it traumatic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we go on to the drugs now?
Oh, sure.
That's my favorite scene.
Really?
So Sam finds, oh yeah, okay. I'm obsessed with this scene. It is so funny and it is so needed because the episode is so heavy and this like 2-3 minutes is so funny.
Yeah.
Sam finds a lot of marijuana in Pete's jacket, mm-hmm. which tracks. And Violet says, so then Violet goes upstairs, Addison finds her, and then Cooper finds her, and then they're all like, tee-hee-hee, this is so fun. And Sam and Jake come up, the unlikely duo who should not be getting along or working together. They come up and they try to make them go back down and be adults. And it's like, dude, let Violet do what she wants to do right now. It's not hurting anyone.
Mm.
Violet says, these are just some of my favorite quotes.
Okay.
Let's live here in the tub. Love that.
Yeah.
Cooper, my dear sweet Cooper, says, drugs are bad. They make my tongue feel like cheese. And then they order like a pizza per person, two pizzas per person, if you will. Cooper tells Violet that Charlotte's pregnant. First of all, I think it's hilarious that he does it in the dub because he wants to do it so badly and he doesn't because Charlotte doesn't want him to. But, you know, the drugs make him tell her. And he says, I'm so happy and Charlotte is so not happy.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite scene in the whole series. And like anytime the cast gets together for interviews, they always talk about how fun this scene was.
Oh, my God.
And obviously, like, it makes sense that Amelia isn't there. And I'm actually really glad that Amelia is in another building for this. But I do think Amelia pre-addiction would have been hilarious in this scene.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad she's not around the drug use.
Yeah.
I'm really glad she's not around the drug use, but her one-liners would have been great. And the last little note I have about that scene specifically is Sam tries to be, of course, a killjoy and is like, it's recreational marijuana is illegal in California. And Cooper says, I'm a doctor. And then Cooper and Violet prescribe each other medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a doctor. I prescribe you. And I thought that was so funny.
I think my favorite line, there were like three things that happened in that scene that really got to me. One was, let's buy a cow. Like, that's hilarious.
Yes. Going to the, how do we get cheese?
Let's buy a cow.
Let's buy a cow.
That was hilarious. And then, well, then it like gets sad. Because like there's a moment when, I think Violet is the one who says this. She says, who wants to feel when feeling feels this bad?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's kind of beautiful to watch. And then the Jake swoops in with the whole asking if he wants him to tell everyone to leave. And
yeah.
That's beautiful because, like, this whole time everyone's been, like, da-da-da-da, and no one's really, like, asked her what she wants. And so it was kind of like this, like, moment of he's like, I get it, I understand, like, do you want everyone gone? Like, if this is how you want to, it's kind of like, if this is how you want to process grief, like, let's let you process it like this. Like, let's tell everyone to leave.
Yeah.
But, like, no one else has done that. Everyone else has been like, no, we're going to have this celebration. It was just strange. But, yeah.
Karaoke machine.
Oh, my God.
Jake, yeah, has barely said two words to Violet the entire series. Yeah. And now he's being so nice to her. Just what a mensch. Such a mensch.
Such a mensch.
Yeah. Addison crying over Mark.
Oh, same girl.
Same. Still, to this day, it literally kept me up last night.
Especially because, like, if you've watched Grey's, you know, like, that episode really well and how he gets up and has, like, that whole moment of being awake and then he dies and you're like, oh, like, it's just like, oh.
As Jackson is bringing Sophia to him, like, I, it haunts me. It haunts me. It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
What were you going to say before I was commiserating with my bestie, Addison?
No, the other thing I was going to say that I missed that we said earlier was, we kind of talked about this earlier, but then there's a moment when, like, Cooper is talking to Addison about the baby. It stuck out to me because Cooper's, like, such a bad person this entire episode about the babies, right? Like, he's making, he's making Charlotte feel bad. He's tells Violet without, like, asking Charlotte. He does all this stuff. But then there's, like, this, like, really sincere moment of his where he's like talking to Addison and he's like, I don't know if I should convince Charlotte to like raise this extra child. It was like, it shows like such a moment of like, again, like I hate the Cooper Violet friendship, right? Like we've talked about this, but like,
yeah,
because I think she's bad for him. And he literally sits there and he's like, no, I shouldn't ask Charlotte to have to give up when she's already giving up so much. It's just like a proud moment of Cooper for me. And then he then goes and tells Violet that he's having triplets. Anyway, I feel like the interactions between Sam and Addison are, like, awkward and cute and light, like, a bit. Because, like, you know, like, everything that's happened in their relationship is, like, not nice. And that's putting it lightly, right? Okay, but then there's, like, they have this conversation in the kitchen about coffee, right? And it's, like, it's kind of a nice juxtaposition to what's happening with the death, right? Because they're like, we can't be friends, but like we can talk about coffee.
Yeah.
And so they like have this like light kind of hearted moment where they like just talk about the beans and the grinder. I found that like really light and nice. And then it leads to the end of the episode where he comes up to her and he's like, not now, but we can be friends.
Yeah.
It shows, because like I think the best thing about a good TV show is to show people who grow, and Sam could easily never talk to Addison again and no one would judge him.
I don't know how easy it would be. I don't know how easy it would be to never talk to her, but I mean, I do agree.
He'd have to
they work together and live next door.
But he could like leave and move and like get another job. Like, you know, like if he was like really, really broken, he could fix it.
He could move to be where Maya and Naomi is. Yeah. Right. No, I get that.
And so it's like if he's gonna, it's like really nice to just like round out the episode and be like, it can be okay. And it's nice to think about Violet too. Like Violet can be okay eventually.
I do think it has so much to do with Mark's death, right?
Because
his death is one thing.
For sure.
Sam's known him longer than Addison has, but I mean, they went to school with Mark, right? Yeah. They've like, it's huge.
Mark is, yeah.
But I really do appreciate that they brought Mark into this episode just because it's such a testament to that character and how much that character is, well, maybe not universally beloved because people still think he's a bad person and I will fight them with my bare hands.
I mean, he does bad things. He's not a bad person, but he does bad things. No?
Okay, I think he's misunderstood.
I think he, no. I love Mark Sloan, but there are some things Mark Sloan does that I'm like, maybe not.
Early Mark is problematic.
Late Mark is problematic sometimes too. No?
I have no gloves on. I can fight you with my bare hands.
You cannot.
From across the country.
Sam, you could not fight me if you tried. I mean, you could try. It'd be really funny to watch.
No, it's fine. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I still love you. Still love you. But yeah, no, I love Mark Sloan.
I just, like, we heard nothing about Lexi. Like, we heard barely anything about the shooting, barely, except for one line at Dell's funeral. But Mark dying is big. I mean, obviously, it's in the next episode as well. And I do not feel like that's a spoiler.
No.
And my mom's on the next episode, and she does not like Mark, and she does not like Charlotte. So it's going to be really funny.
I'm sorry.
Tune in.
Your mom does not like Mark or Charlotte?
Yeah.
Okay, then,
or Sheldon.
Then your mom and I would probably throw hands. But
that's a really funny image.
I don't think I could ever be mean to your mom ever.
Never.
But
and she's a Gemini, so you don't want to be mean to her.
But I thrive with Geminis because my grandma and grandpa were Gemini twins.
Aww.
They're like my favorite. I know. Pat and Patty were Gemini twins.
No.
I know. It's cute. It's a cute thing to say.
Yeah.
Oh, my other thing I have to say about this episode, I don't know if you, like, noticed it, but at the funeral, why were all the couples matching with other couples? Did you notice that?
I think they were just all in the same Bali color palette.
I think
they were all in, like, peaches and oranges and yellows, like a sunset.
But Addison and Cooper were, like, the same, like, yellowy-orange color.
Yeah.
Charlotte and Jake wore the exact same shade purple. And then, like, Sam and Violet had, I think Violet wore red and Sam wore like a burnt orange, but they were all like, I was trying to figure out if like they're going, because you know, like costuming tells stories on its own, and I'm like, are they going through different things that we should like notice, or like what is happening, or like,
I think it's just the main color palette that the costume was working with.
Mm.
And I can see, I mean, I have it in my Sam style later, but I can see their group text being like, what do you even wear to this, like,
celebration?
We're not supposed to wear black, but like, yeah, I can see the color story.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need to read too much into about Sam and Violet matching and all of that. But it's like sunset, end of life colors.
Yeah.
Violet having her little mental breakdown singing as Sheldon comes in, it tracks.
Oh, it tracks. Yes.
And I loved the scene with Sheldon and Violet on the like deck. I also think Sheldon said some great things to her, just like Mason and Jake. Sheldon's like, what can I do? And Violet's like, bring him back. And Sheldon says, if it were in my power, you know I would.
Yeah.
Which is huge coming from where they came from in seasons one and two. Mm-hmm. Well, Sheldon's not in season one. But, you know, coming from Sheldon's beginning on this show of, you know, their little moments in the woods and him maybe being Lucas's father and their rebound, not rebound, like relationship rebound, but like they were like a rubber band going really far away from each other. And now they're, you know, kind of besties again. Besties? I don't know if that's the right word.
I don't know if besties is the word, but yes, they're civil.
Supportive more than coworkers.
Yeah.
The song in the background at the end is so depressing when they're spreading Pete's ashes in the ocean, which, I mean, with the wind, it seems not a great idea, the direction that they're standing in and pouring. But hey, more important, pressing things going on? I'm not quite sure. It says the music is like, everyone dies, we're all going to die, you're going to die, I'm going to die, everyone dies, everyone's dying. And I'm like, oh my God.
I also feel like, I don't know if I would scatter ashes on, I know he says like to scatter them in the water, but like, I would go like out in the, like I wouldn't do it on the beach. That feels
like on a boat, I agree.
Yeah, it feels a little like you might step in him like 2 weeks later.
Oh yeah, very White Lotus to do it on a boat.
Very White Lotus.
I do think it's literally Addison and Sam's backyard that they're doing it in. Yeah. So they definitely will be stepping on it. And, like, it's blowing back onto Cooper's pants. And, like, it goes in the laundry. And then it's going to be, like, on Mason's clothes. It just feels...
it's a little much.
Yeah. I don't want to say unhygienic because whatever. But I hope she didn't throw away the whole thing. Because now it's trendy, popular, I guess, to put ashes in jewelry. I feel like Violet would be really into that.
Yeah. You know, you can make someone into a diamond.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy to me, but also, yeah.
There's a couple artists I follow that are, they do beautiful, like, signet rings with ashes, and they do, like, designing necklaces. It just, I feel like perhaps he didn't know it existed.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it didn't exist back then, but yeah. Anything else for Pete's funeral?
No.
Okay, on to miscellaneouses.
Miscellaneouses.
Do you have any stray notes?
Yeah, my only one is the conversation between Addison and Amelia at the end of the episode where they're talking about how Amelia didn't ask her to be her surrogate. And it was just like, and it was, you know, because it's right after they find out that Mark has died. It's like this kind of like beautiful moment of like they were sisters at one point and they still have sister relationship. But like, it's just it's a beautiful moment for Addison to be like, you know, I was wrong. And which Addison doesn't do a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice, it's just like a nice moment to witness.
And Amelia is so happy when she's asked.
So happy. Yeah.
Then right after that, she tells her about Mark off screen, of course, because of course. I don't think I could handle that.
No.
Did you notice the wallpaper in Henry's room? It was so cute. It was like trucks and trucks and little boats, and it was very cute. And his mobile above his crib was adorable also.
Adorable.
Okay, in season one or two, when we were in Addison's bathroom with, like, another boyfriend, I think. Maybe it was Pete. I don't remember. The shadow boxes of the bathing suits were on her walls, and I made a note about it. And they're still there when Cooper and Charlotte are in there in this episode. And then in the tub scene as well, we see those, like, shadow boxes. And there's one in the living room as well. And I just really appreciate the continuity there. Thank you, art department.
Love the continuity.
Or props or whoever that would be. I think it would be art department.
There was, like, one in her kitchen, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is technically the kitchen. I just called it the living room.
Yeah, whatever. I was just, like, I remember being, like, why is there a suit here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a note that says, I, too, am blinded by good coffee, Sam.
Love.
That was before I realized that he was using it as, like, an excuse to not talk about real things.
Yeah.
And I realized in that scene by the espresso machine, Sam is still so in love with Addison. I feel like that's really obvious. I don't think she's in love with him, though. I really do think that she's in love with Jake.
Oh, yeah.
But she is so intoxicated by the thought of him loving her. And I'm afraid that will get her into trouble or get them into trouble.
I mean, I think it leans into, like, Addison. I mean, like, here's the thing. I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose anybody. But Addison has some, like, I don't know if narcissism is the word. It's not narcissism. But she, like, enjoys people being in love with her, which is why when you watch the blow up of Derek Mark and Addison, it's like so palpable because you can tell she loves Mark more than Derek, but she doesn't want to get rid of Derek. And so it's like kind of the same thing. And this is like, it's really interesting how it happens that we find out Mark has died and she is still in, she's like in love now, like more with Jake than she was with Sam, but she doesn't want to lose either one of them because she's basically lost. I mean, like, she hasn't lost Derek yet, but she's lost both of them to her now. And so now she has these two other people that she just doesn't want to lose Sam in the way she lost either Derek or Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very wise.
Thank you. I could be a doctor.
Yeah. Speaking of Sam, Sam leaves and he says he's going home to call Derek too, which I love when they call back to, you know, why Addison came here in the first place, which is her relationship with Naomi and Sam and how they all went to school together. And I really like that Sam calls back saying he says he's going to call Derek, and it's a callback to how we know them.
Yeah.
My last stray note, I really went on my entire soapbox in the last episode, and I cannot wait for you to hear, Christina.
Great, can't wait.
It was two episodes ago.
Okay.
About how, like, maybe Addison could have saved all of their lives. Mm. And I now don't think so, because the timing is really weird. So Mark was in a coma for 2 months after the plane crash.
Right.
And he was awake for a minute, and then he was in a coma again for 30 days.
Right.
And that's when he's taken off life support. So if this is supposed to be like a few weeks or days after Pete died, then perhaps, likely, Amelia wasn't having her baby while the plane crash was happening.
Mm.
Because if this really is three and a half months after the plane crash, Charlotte would be showing.
Oh.
I don't think Pete would not be, you know, they wouldn't take care of Pete's body for 3.5 months.
No. No, it's like within 72 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. It, just because it would be a crime scene outside.
Yeah. Anyway,
because when in the last episode, when Charlotte is getting her IUD removed, Addison's like, yeah, like that's the problem with IUDs is the missed periods. You don't know you're pregnant as early. And Charlotte's like, yeah, I'm a few months along already. So like, if this was 3 months after that, she would be very much showing with three babies in her tummy.
Yeah, she'd be 5 or 6 months pregnant.
Yeah, which she's not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think timing in this universe is weird, and apparently Addison could not have saved Mark, so sorry for assuming, Addison, that you could have saved the love of your life and mine.
Sorry for assuming.
That's all your stray notes, nothing extra?
That's all my stray notes.
Okay, my Sam style this week is Charlotte.
Mm.
She has a shiny pinky purple top and fully a dandelion skirt. It's one of those skirts that, like, there's a photo on it, and it's funny. It doesn't, like, I feel like, yes, it's Charlotte, but I can totally see the group text of them being like, what do I even wear to this? Because Violet's wearing, like, a longa sari, and Addison is wearing maybe a beach cover-up, not really sure, but, like, and Cooper's wearing, you know, a more Bali-style shirt, but Charlotte's not going to have a sari in her closet.
Mm-mm.
It's a great outfit for someone who's less likely to have that to wear to this.
Mm-hmm.
Has our Peggy Lee Lotus earrings on and a multi-strand red beaded necklace that she has worn that beaded necklace before. I really like that they're repeating jewelry. I think it's a lot more reasonable than somebody who wears a different outfit and a different jewelry set every episode.
Yeah, we love a statement necklace in 2012.
Yeah. Do we have a guest star spotlight, Christina?
The only person who's like really a guest star and has like more than one line is the guy who plays Nick. So like that's what I picked, I guess. His name is Carter McKinter. So I'm going to guess how you say it. But he's in Griselda right now, which I am watching and currently love. So that's why he got it.
I've not heard of that. What is that?
You haven't? Okay, you should. Okay.
No.
Sofia Vada Vergara is in it. Love her. You should go watch it. It's really good.
What is it on? Like, what's it about? Give me the lowdown.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I like just started, so I don't entirely know.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
Why?
They figured out that I don't live with my parents.
Oh, they haven't figured that out for me yet. So I just hope they don't yet. It's like 6 episodes, and it's about a woman who was a Colombian drug lord who, like, is a real person. It's been, like, really interesting because she, like, spent, like, 4 hours in a makeup chair. Like, I watched this interview with her, and she spent, like, 4 hours in a makeup chair being, like, made to look uglier.
Transformed.
Yeah, and her son, her, like, the actual drug lord's son comes out and was like, my mom did not look like that. Like, stop trying to make my mom look ugly. It was very funny. She was in Colombia, and I think it was in, like, 2012, too. I just started it, but it's pretty good, even though you can't watch Netflix right now. So, yeah.
So, tell me more about our guest star.
He's from Atlanta, Georgia. He's 40 to 45. It doesn't say when his actual birth date is on Wikipedia. oh, he was in Drop Dead Diva. I didn't know that.
Oh, he's in Man in the High Castle. I love that show.
Yeah, he was on ER and Undercovers. He's been in a lot, actually. And Private Practice.
Bones, The Mentalist.
NCIS, CSI New York. That's funny that he was on ER, like, all the way back in 2006. That feels like so long ago.
Yeah. His trivia says he was in a commercial for Las Vegas and a commercial for Miller Lite. Okay, well, thank you for telling us about Carter McIntyre.
Oh, you're welcome. Hopefully you chop it together so I sound a little smarter.
I'll try.
Okay.
Okay, our trivia for this episode. This episode scored 6.01 million viewers. Mm. This is the 100th episode of Private Practice. Love that. Miguel Najera, who plays Aaron Colvin, who is the last one to speak to Violet when Sam finds, you know, the special party medicine. Yeah, he plays Aaron Colvin in this episode. And then he plays Janitor Mike in seasons 5, 6, and 8 of Grey's Anatomy. Kind of a minor role, but, like, he's in it kind of a lot. He helps Richard with the flood. He cleans out George's locker, RIP, stay away from buses, Georgie, and helps after the Brandy and Andy twin surgery.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And since today we have officially said goodbye to Dr. Wilder, I thought we'd do a little deep dive on our friend Pete. Before settling on the name Pete Wilder, the creators of the show considered and rejected Pete Finch and Pete Fisher. I think Pete Wilder suits him.
Oh, I like Pete Finch.
That sounds like a lawyer to me. It doesn't sound like a doctor.
Okay, fine.
Pete rode a Triumph motorcycle. According to Sam, Pete couldn't parallel park to save his life. I thought that was really funny how they went around and they told, like, the one-liners.
Yeah, agreed.
Pete wanted a Balinese party instead of a normal funeral. Yes, thank you, Grey's Wiki. We know.
Thank you.
Pete never ate the crust off his pizza, which Violet tells us.
Mm-hmm.
He loved mint chocolate chip ice cream, Addison tells us. He liked meatloaf, and he spoke Spanish. That's all we have for Pete.
So interesting.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready for your choosings, your little muses of what you think is going
to
happen next.
My God, I have no idea. I feel like this is a hard episode to, like, pitch what's going to happen next because, like, it's kind of a reflective episode in a way.
Uh-huh.
Where you don't really, like, nothing really moves forward. So, yeah, I hope that Cooper pulls his shit together, supporting Charlotte and her three babies. I hope that Violet leaves this series. Not sure. I just don't like Violet.
We only have, like, 11 episodes to go.
I know.
So
I just
it's not,
don't can't... like Violet. I just don't. I hope that Addison figures it out. Like, I know a little bit from, like, Grey's, and we won't spoil anything. But, like, I just hope she figures out how to be a decent human again. She's not, like, not a decent human, but I feel like there's something about Addison that has, like, lost the sparkle that I really loved Addison for, if that makes sense. And so I kind of hope she, like, gains some of that back.
Okay.
But I don't know if she will. I don't even know how she would do that. And I hope that Amelia doesn't relapse, because I feel like there's something about this that makes me feel like she might relapse, and I don't want that to happen.
And what about Charlotte's pregnancy? Do you foresee anything happening with that, besides Cooper maybe hopefully stepping up?
Well, I know that triplets are, like, a lot. That's downplaying it. But
yeah,
I feel like they'll come early, because triplets always come early, because there's just not enough room in the uterus to house that much mass.
Okay.
I feel like I can't make any, like, reasonable, crazy predictions because this episode was not moving forward in the plot. It was moving forward in the plot. I feel like it won't happen before the series ends. It might happen on, like, the last episode, but I hope that Sam and Addison have some kind of closure. We can see them start to be friends again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Those are good choosings.
Thank you.
So let's do MVPs first then.
Okay.
So I wrote down Addison.
Okay.
But I might change it to Mason.
Oh, okay.
Because I have it for Addison. I wrote for hosting this whole party and watching over Violet and supporting Charlotte, making small talk with Sam when he wants that, and for telling Amelia about Mark and being a good sister to Amelia. But I really think I'm giving it to Mason because that line about Charlotte eating whatever she wants really is getting to me, and I don't like that for my friend Addie.
Yeah, agreed.
It tracks for her to say that. It does, yeah. But I just don't like that. So Mason, for being wise beyond his years and helping Violet when he doesn't even know he's helping Violet, and for going up to Cooper and being like, I thought you said Violet would be sad, and just like out of the mouths of babes, right? Like just doing it all and not realizing it.
For sure.
He's a hero without knowing it.
Love that.
Who's your MVP?
Oh, my MVP is for sure Jake, because he finally asks Violet if she wants everyone to leave, and he's the first person to actually care about what she wants in the episode versus like everything that's going on, because he's a good guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've been giving Jake my MVP a lot, which is why I didn't.
Didn't this time? I can, like, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, like every episode. I'm like, is it Jake? It's probably Jake.
It's probably Jake. Just like for that one season that it was always Charlotte, it's always Charlotte.
Yeah. My rating is walking down the boardwalk on a busy day in the pouring rain. There are a million things going on. And like everywhere you look, something is happening, which I feel like very much this episode. It's hectic, but it's still pretty pulled together. But there's just like a million things going on. I appreciate that it's for the most part a bottle episode, except for the scene in the hospital and in the office. But it feels like a bottle episode to me. And just thank heavens for that scene in the bathtub to break some of that tension, because it was a heavy one.
Yeah, I would say that mine, well, it kind of feels like, this sounds really funny, but you know when you're on a boardwalk, right, and you walk past, like, a hot dog vendor and, like, all this, like, or, like, a roasted nut vendor and, like, all this heat just, like, hits you?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it's, like, super overwhelming for about 2 seconds, and then you finally, like, get out of it and you feel, like, the cool air hit your face.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my rating for this episode. Like, everything hits you all at once. And then the second you can, like, kind of step away, you start to, like, breathe again. So I feel like they're, like, the end of the episode is, like, they're finally starting to, like, step out of this fog.
I love that.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Did I ask you if there's anything you want to promote? I don't think I did at the top. Is there anything you want to promote?
Oh, I finished yoga teacher training at the end of this week. So if anyone wants to take a fun vinyasa yoga class, let me know. Hit me up on Instagram.
In what city are you in currently?
I'm in New York, but I can teach on Zoom, and I can teach privates and classes and all of it.
Nice. And where can we find you online?
I'm online at Prima Donna Pena on Instagram.
Perfect. Okay, so we do have listener mail that I forgot to put at the top.
Okay, do your listener mail.
This is from Mary, and Mary says, I am in college for musical theater. Oh boy, Mary.
So sorry.
And I feel like I'm getting a... I feel like I'm getting a lot of conflicting information about how the business actually works. What would you suggest for someone graduating soon who wants to pursue a career in musical theater?
I love this question.
Okay, sweet, sweet, sweet Mary. You, first of all, picked the correct co-host for this because Christina and I have been through
hell
together and back.
Hell.
Okay, so number one... Oh, this is such a varied question. This might take like a half an hour to answer. And please continue to DM me and I can help you separately. But I do feel like maybe you're not the only person in our listenership to have this question. So just remember who you are and why you got into this. And do work that you want to do with people who you want to do the work with. So, for instance, when I moved to New York, I chose New York over other markets because what was on Broadway and being produced at the time was work that I wanted to be doing and work that I was good for. Okay, Fiddler on the Roof was on, Finding Neverland was on.
Oh, yeah.
Fun Home.
Oh, yeah.
Hand to God, It Should Have Been You, Noises Off.
Yeah.
all shows that, like, I saw myself in and shows that I wanted to be a part of. Just do work that you want to do and be paid for your work, let me tell you. Be paid for your work, dear Mary. If you're helping a friend with a cabaret, fine. But be paid for your work. Don't be told that you have to... I mean, yes, you have to pay your dues, but you should be paid while paying your dues. What do you have to say, Christina?
Well, first I have to say I paid you in dinner for being on my cabaret.
Oh my God, no, no, no. I'm literally not talking about you. I'm saying, like, work for free.
It was just funny.
Work for free with your friends if you want to do something. But, sure. Like, don't work for a company for no money.
No. I will say I live behind and in front of the table now, which is a lot. This is, like, something I tell my friends who are, like, very well into their careers right now. And so maybe you'd like to hear this. You don't know why you don't get the job. And you probably never will. And
it's probably not about you.
Yeah. As someone who works behind the table right now, I can tell you it can be as little as, like, you're too tall. Your eye color doesn't match with the character. The tone isn't right to go with the other leading person. Like, there can be, like, the smallest things, like, that you have no control over, and it has nothing to do with your, sometimes it has something to do, because sometimes it does, but sometimes it has nothing to do with your talent or your ambition. And I personally, as someone who hires people now, will hire people that I enjoy spending time with before I hire the biggest talent. So if you just be yourself and you go in and you are, you know, charming and kind and personable, I will give you a callback way before I would somebody who has, like, all the notes, right? And so I think that also find your tribe and, like, let them help you. And I didn't for a long time, like, Samantha and I have talked about this, like, for a long time, we lived in an industry where people didn't want to help each other. And that is, like, the worst thing to do, because I have gotten so much more work and experience by just, like, talking to people about what I want to do. And Sam's right, like, the current market for theater is very commercial, and it's, I mean, we spent so long without theater that I'm grateful for any theater right now. But, like, go find the people that are making the work you want to do. Like, I'm a person who loves the West End in London. I think that they're making great work that is, like, in line with my vision of where I want the theater world to go. And so, like, maybe that means I have to move to London. And if people in LA are making the work you want to make, move to LA. If people in Atlanta are making the work you want to do, move to Atlanta, move to Vancouver. Like, there are so many options in our industry that there weren't 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like, 10 years ago, it was, like, all in New York. And now you can basically live anywhere and still be in our industry.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let anyone tell you that you have to be there in person to audition for things, because you don't. You really don't.
And New York is not an easy city to live in. I mean, LA isn't either, and Chicago isn't, but New York, like, being a human is difficult.
You have to love it.
Like, doing your laundry, getting groceries.
You have to want to be there, and you have to love New York.
Yeah, I also would say take what your professors, I don't know where you go to school, but take what your professors have to say with a grain of salt. Because more likely than not, they haven't actually worked in at least 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And don't let them make you think that you are not good enough just because you're not the lead in every show. Because when I graduated, a lot of the people who got the lead in every show from middle school to college, they did not last more than 2 or 3 months because, I mean, there were probably many reasons, but I think a large part of it is that they were not used to being heard no. So I do think that the more that you are used to being heard no, the longer you may last.
For sure.
The last thing, and we have talked about this for half an hour, and I hope we have answered your question.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to touch on survival jobs real quick. Try to get something flexible that does not damage your instruments. So I have friends who have worked in restaurants who have hurt their backs, their feet, their voices from working in restaurants. I have friends who babysit all the time and then they're sick all the time because they're working with toddlers and they can't audition. So just try to find a survival job, assuming that you need a survival job, because most people do. Find a survival job that does not interfere with your instrument. And when your instrument is you, that's difficult. Eat well, hydrate, And just remember why you got into this. And if you don't remember, watch a movie or go see a show that reminds you.
Yeah.
I think that's all. Yeah, thank you, Mary. I wish you the best. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Beach Houses and Babies, a private practice recap podcast. Please follow us on Instagram at BHAB Podcast and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to be the first to hear future episodes. You can find me at Samantha G. Harris on Instagram.
And you can find me at Prima Donna Pena on Instagram.
If you'd like to support Beach Houses and Babies, please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and sharing with a friend. It really helps people learn about the show and we might read your review on the podcast. You can also become a patron at patreon.com/BHAB podcast. On our next episode, we'll be discussing Private Practice Season 6, Episode 3. They're available to stream on Hulu and can be purchased on iTunes, Amazon, DVD, and more, as well as borrowed from your local library. If you have thoughts you'd like to share with us on these episodes, please DM us on Instagram at BHABpodcast or email us at BHABpodcast@gmail.com to be featured on our listener segment.
Thanks for listening. BHAB Podcast will be back in 2 weeks.
TGIT.